Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to comedian and actor Raheem Johnson, a.k.a. Clean Raheem. Based out of D.C., he went from ripping the runway at New York Fashion Week to being featured on numerous commercials and TV shows, including Geico and For My Man. In 2017, he did a stand-up comedy open mic and got hooked. Since then, he's been booked up and down the East Coast and is known for his energy and theatrics on stage, stemming from his acting background. Clean Raheem is a highly sought-after comedian with an engaging style of comedy and a gift of writing material from his head while performing on stage. Welcome to the show, Raheem. It's great to have you on today.
Dawn, what's going on? Thank you so much for having me.
It is so great to be here. You're always a lot of fun to be around.
And thank you.
Well, you are welcome.
Just because I'm in good company.
Oh. I just love you, Raheem.
Oh, shucks. I'm blushing, but I'm too brown for you to tell.
Oh, laughers, we're going to have some fun today. I can't wait for you to get to know him a little bit better. He is from the Eastern Shore of Virginia and was raised by his grandparents. Now, Raheem, what was that experience like? And who was tougher on you, grandma or grandpa?
Without any hesitation, even though I kind of took a moment to hesitate, my grandma.
Your
by
grandma?
By any means, yes. My grandmother was the enforcer. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Everyone in the house could get in trouble, including my grandfather. Okay. And he was the one who worked and paid bills. All right. Like it was definitely my grandmother. She played zero games.
What do you remember most about her zero games that stands out?
Oh, my goodness. It was like, it just was very like low tolerance. You know what I mean? It was like, I don't even know how to break it down, you know, in like small, you know, in short form. I mean, she was just like zero business. Okay. Even my friends knew if I come in this house, I better have my I's dotted, my T's crossed. All right. Cause she might hit me. She could hit anyone could get it. It was anybody. My grandmother was a gangster. She still is. She's just very slow. She's kind of on the sideline now because she's like in her 70s, but
that sounds like a lot of fun. What did you and your friends do for play when you got away from grandma?
What didn't we do? Okay. When I got out of that house, I did everything. I'm going to keep it legal, but I mean, I did everything. I mean, like, I couldn't wait to get out. When I moved, I went to college in Wilmington, Delaware. Mm-hmm. So that's probably like a good 3.5 hour drive, maybe like three from home. So I wanted to get away far enough away so she wouldn't come, but close enough so I could go back when I wanted to. You know what I mean?
Right. Because
it's like that grandmother who stays in a house. She wears a house coat all day or a gown. She would only leave when she absolutely had to. You know what I mean? Real old school Southern grandma. You know what I mean? You come in the house, it's always hot. And she's cooking every day. It's like there were no leftovers. She's cooking a completely different meal today. You know what I mean? You eat all your food. You wash the dishes. You watch TV. You go to bed. It was like everything was a schedule. You know what I mean? So like, I knew when I left that house, I was like, I'm gonna do whatever I want. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what I did. No matter how broke I was, I tried to do whatever I want. And I mean, so it was fun times in college my freshman year. It was like getting out. I mean, if there's any PKs out here, any preacher's kids, I think I had like the PK syndrome probably. It was like, I'm finally out here. I'm outside. I got a car. Let's go.
I
don't have any gas, but we're going somewhere. Let's go.
And then when you come back to visit her, she's a cook. So what's your favorite?
Oh no,
favorite dish she makes.
Stopped cooking. She stopped cooking when I moved out.
Oh
yeah, I can't remember the last time she cooked. She doesn't even make food for Thanksgiving. It's like, this is the time to cook. Like, if there ever was a time to cook, it would be Thanksgiving. Like, I can't remember the last meal I've had from her. I mean, I'm 30 now, so it's like probably when I was 19, 20, maybe.
Oh, my goodness. She retired. Yeah.
She literally retired. I don't even know if she can cook now. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. She's always eating something bought when I get there. It's like, where do you have pots and pans in here? Like, yeah, I don't know.
Do you give her a hard time about it? That's what you do? You tell her about
that? No, she's still the enforcer. I'm not going
to. You know better than that.
Right. You don't bark up a tree that might fall on you. You know?
I feel it.
Yeah, if I say anything, it's over the phone. And then by the time I see her again, she's forgotten. So I use her age against her sometimes. So
in the distance with the phone, I love this. Right. Yeah. You went at college, you studied accounting, and then you also received an MBA. And afterwards, you worked as an accountant, for 2 years. But then you decided to quit. Why?
Yeah. So actually, that was because I was full time for about 2 years. I actually had an intern. I had two different interns. And then when I graduated my undergrad, one of them hired me full time. And then I went and got my master's degree. And then after I worked, you know, those 2 years, I just quit. I mean, long story short, I wanted to do everything else. You know, I was modeling at the time. I was just starting to get into acting. And it was like, this can't be life. Like, there's no way I thought that me, Raheem, energetic, talkative, could just sit in the office on a computer poking numbers all day. It was no way. I was losing my mind, like, and I was just bored and ready to go. I was ready to go. There's no way you should be at your job stalking the clock like I did. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I was stalking that clock. Okay. It was like, at some point I should have just like not worn a watch or anything, and time probably would have went by faster. But when I realized that I could not have my own place and have a roommate and split bills, that was the biggest aha moment I ever had. And that's exactly what I did. I moved out and I had a roommate, and, you know, he actually worked with me. So we just went our separate ways. I went somewhere where it was cheaper and I quit. It was a very simple plan. I mean,
yeah,
just quit. I was personal training on the side. I was waiting tables at Olive Garden and, you know, letting the old ladies flirt with me for extra tips. And I mean, hey, I made it work. Made it work. Come on here, Ethel. Come on. You want super salad.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah, so you did the modeling and you were a runway model for New York Fashion Week. And I don't know a lot about being a runway model, obviously.
So I did more than runway. I did print and editorials and stuff like that. So I got into that because I had a friend in college who was doing it, and I always thought about doing it. And then he told me about a photographer I should go and, you know, set up a shoot with. And I did that. And then when I posted those pictures on social media, it just kind of went out there. See, because before this married body that I have, I used to be really, really fit. Okay. So, I mean, I was always in the gym. I was personal trainer and all this stuff. And I mean, I was doing the physique competition. So, you know, I had the six pack and the big square pecs and stuff like that. So as soon as I took my shirt off, I could get a gig. You know what I mean? So, so I don't know if they ever really thought I was ugly or if it was my body but we're not going to go into that. So anyway, I started doing that. And then I actually, New York Fashion Week wasn't my first. I did some shows in Delaware, and then I did Philly Fashion Week. And then there was a designer there who, Deshar Barbershot, who was booked for several events in New York during Fashion Week. And he just asked me to come out, and he was like, hey, I want you to be like one of my lead models and blah, 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 blah. And then boom, I did who knows how many shows in New York I did. So Fashion Week is in February and September. And then he would do this huge New Year's fashion show. I probably did like six shows out in New York. It was an experience.
Is that, are those in New York City?
Yeah, yeah. Manhattan, like city, like who knows who's going to be in there. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, and models are everywhere. People naked, just running around. It's a different life. So
I want to know more about that experience. So you go up there, are you there the whole week? Are they long hours? Can you describe it for us as the runway model? From your lens.
So it really depends on how you get booked, you know. So it's like sometimes the producers are booking the models. And then if the producer of the show at a particular venue all week, and that's the thing, a lot of times these shows aren't all week at one place. You know what I mean? New York Fashion Week is just the whole city is just having fashion shows. You know what I mean? It's not like there's one building and then the fashion shows are at that place. There's fashion shows all over the place. You know what I mean? So if a producer has some venues that he's running and he books models or whatever, those models can be there all week. Me, designers were picking me. So I would go wherever those designers were having a show. You know, so wherever Deshar was or wherever, you know, like I walk for a guy named Edwin and, you know, a couple other designers, wherever their show was, that's where I went. So most of the time I didn't do more than 2 days out of the week. I think 2 days was most I did.
And are you there like 8 hours or all day?
Well, I mean, the designers are there more. You know, they're set up and then once the show goes, I think I would be there about an average of 5 hours. No, one time I was there about 10 hours, you know, but I mean, that was like early on and I wasn't with the designer as much. Mm-hmm. But I kind of had special perks because I was friends with the designer and he was like the anchor, you know, like an anchor is like, that's the designer who goes last. So he's like the headliner of the fashion show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, once he gets stuff situated, if he goes back to his room, I went back, you know what I mean? So, but sometimes those days can be long and like stale, you know, you're sitting in the back just waiting and people aren't even out there yet. They're probably still setting up and stuff like that. You're there to make sure that the clothes fit and all of that. So it can be boring until it's showtime. That's when trouble happens. You're hanging out with people, you're meeting people, you know what I mean? So,
Trouble. What do you mean by trouble?
Well, as a married person, I think it's trouble. But back then that was fun. So,
okay. It's
like I've conditioned myself. That's all.
Okay. That's good. Speaking of, very good job and nice answer, Queen Raheem. But see, and speaking
she's
of,
probably the weirdest.
She probably is. And let's talk about her because this is so fun. I read this. Her name's Brianna, your wife. And you actually, while you were doing that New York Fashion Week and being the runway model, you proposed to her from stage. Did she know this was happening?
She had zero idea. So let me tell you what happened with this. So the Fashion Week during February is during the week of February, almost every calendar year, you know, Valentine's Day. So I had a show on Valentine's Day and we hadn't even been dating a year. You know, we probably had been dating about 10 months. So the whole thing about this is that I've had a crush on my wife since I was in sixth grade, but she didn't. So, you know, I was kind of the geek, you know what I mean? The skinny, smart kid who's, you know, kind of athletic. You know what I mean? I wasn't popular in school, but she was. She played all the sports and every guy I knew liked her and all of this. So, and she was a year older. So, you know, you liking an older girl is a thing. You know what I mean? You know, it's not like cougars are horrible. You know, all the guys want to get scratched by cougars. You know what I mean? When I was working that accounting job, I had a coworker who had never been to Ocean City, Maryland. So we went there and I saw Brianna in person and I stopped her on the boardwalk and I gave her a hug as if she knew me and come find out she had no idea who I was. So I went to my Instagram and my Facebook and I'm like, but she's been liking my pictures and stuff. You know what I mean? I thought, you know, these shirtless pictures was drawing her in. Come find out my wife actually has a cousin that she is very distant from, but knows of, that lives in North Carolina, whose name is Raheem Johnson. And she thought that I was her cousin who found her on social media, and she was just supporting by liking and stuff like that. So anyway, this whole time I'm thinking I'm getting attention, and she's just kind of ignoring the picture, just double tapping because she thinks it's her cousin, right? So anyway, fast forward, we're dating. She becomes my girlfriend. And then I knew that I wanted to marry her. So what I did was I told her best friend, and I told her that I was like, hey, Valentine's Day, I need you in New York for Fashion Week. She was like, oh, okay. No, no, no. I'm like, wait, this isn't about you. Okay. It's because I want to propose to Brianna. So we had it all hooked up. They got a room out there, and they're thinking, oh, we're just going to make it a nice weekend and blah, 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 out in New York. I told her that there was a love sign. There is a love sign. There was. And I don't know if it's still there. That we would go out and take a photo by and all of that the next morning. I made her think that the whole next day after the fashion show was going to be our day to hang out. But instead, I had a photo shoot set up. Out in Philadelphia, I had a nice party set up for her with her friends and family at Black Wall Hitch in, was it Annapolis, Maryland, or wherever it was in Maryland. But like, I had this whole thing planned out for the next day, and we were not going to be in New York at all. So I have her come up on stage right after we're done, and I had my friend, the designer, pretend that he was giving me an award. And it was wrapped up, and it looked like it was going to be an award. So when I come up to get the award, I thank him, and then I thank everybody for coming out. I thank her for supporting me, because this isn't that long after I quit my job, you know. So I have her come up, and I want her to open it with me and blah, blah, blah. And then there was a friend of hers who says something like, oh, you're going to be in New York on Valentine's Day. He's going to propose. And then I joked it off, because her other friend didn't know either. So I just played it off. And I told her, I said, hey, you remember that time she said that I was going to propose? I was like, well, she was finally right about something. And I ripped it open. It was a sign that said, will you marry me? And yeah, she got shaky legged and all that. And it was cool. I still have it on video. That was good. Yeah. I'm proud of myself for that one.
You should be very proud. You put a lot of work into that.
I did. It was a lot of work and a lot of lying. A whole lot of lying. It's like, when you think about it, it's like I lied to her a lot that day. The whole week full of lies.
Which is what you don't want to do in a marriage. Right,
exactly. That was the last lie I've ever told
her. Yes, you know? That's right. Better be clean, Raheem.
Exactly. You know? Who, me? No.
That's so exciting. I love that so much. She's a delightful young lady for sure. I've met her. Yeah. Yeah, she's really wonderful. You did a good job there. Way to go.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you knew that. You knew that.
I did, but I'll take the compliment.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, you've done more than runway work though with this modeling business. You've also been you've done a bit. You're in national magazines also. What was that?
Yeah. I did Huff International.
I don't even know what Huff is. What is Huff?
H-U-F. I honestly forgot what it stands for. It's okay. Tough though. I just took the check and left. So I had a Calvin Klein ad in there, and then there was like three other designers whose clothes I wore. The popular picture was the one of me in my drawers, of course. But it was like huge online thing, and then they published it. So that one, I did something called Carmella, and was Carmella the new one? Oh crap, Brianna's listening to this. I did this nude one time too. I can't remember
really
that one. Yeah, it didn't show your stuff. You know what I mean? It's like artistic. it's artistic nude, you know, where they, it's like you're standing there, but then this pillow is just standing in front of your stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's like right. that type of stuff. So, but yeah, it wasn't like a triple X magazine that they have the plastic on at the convenience stores, but like,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, I've done a couple of those, but Huff definitely was my favorite.
That was your favorite one.
Yeah. Great photographer. It was great designer. The stylist that was there, that whole experience was amazing.
Yeah. That was back when you were doing the fitness physique contest. Yes. Also.
Exactly. So that's why my photos came out so nice, because I was only 2 weeks out from a competition. So no, actually I was only 1 week out. So I was like really fit at the time. You know what I mean? So like, those pictures came out real nice, real nice.
You have to do a lot to participate in one of those competitions in terms of like cutting body fat. And
oh, you give up your life.
You do. Okay.
Yeah, you're literally on a schedule, and like you need a partner doing that. And I didn't have one. I'm cooking every night. I ate like 17 eggs a day. I was eating like 300 grams of protein every day, and whatever my trainer like had on the paper, I literally had to eat just that. You're measuring food like you're a freaking butcher. And like, it's like, it's so dramatic. It's like, it was, I don't know what part was hardest, like eating and working out or cooking. I felt like I was running a restaurant or something like that. And yeah, eating the same food and dry chicken breast and drinking water. I almost like suffocated myself with dry chicken, because you don't want to throw out chicken. So it's like, at one point I probably should have just threw that chicken out, but I still ate. And like, I know I was a bachelor. I probably had salmonella twice. Who knows? Who knows?
Are you liking living more like a normal human being right now with the way you eat, or do you miss the life?
I even bring it back every now and then. The only reason I can't stick to it, my wife doesn't even really like leftovers. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know there were people like that until I met her. Like, before I met her, she didn't even like broccoli. It's like, it's broccoli. It's like, what do you mean you don't like broccoli? She was like a really picky eater, mushrooms and stuff. Like, it's like, how do you not eat this stuff? But yeah, every now and then I try to get myself on some sort of meal plan and try to stick to it. And then she looks at me eating that dry chicken from 2 days ago, like, you're going to eat that again? I don't want that. I want Chick-fil-A. And now here I am at Chick-fil-A. You're not going to. Like,
no, here I am.
Here I am at Chick-fil-A. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to go to Chick-fil-A and get a salad when she's eating a spicy chicken deluxe. You know what I mean? Now I'm going to ruin everything I did for 4 days. But it's all for love, Don.
You mean, you'll get the kale salad and try to say, you know, I'm doing somewhat good today.
Salad. Almost vomited in my mouth just then. Ew. No.
So you get the waffle fries and the.
I will. Now I won't lie. Sometimes if I'm trying to be good to my body, because you only get one body, folks. You get one body. Sometimes I will get the market salad. You know, I'll get the market salad. The only issue with that is I don't like the blue cheese. And no matter how many times I tell them not to put blue cheese in it, they know my face. This Chick-fil-A is right down the street, Dawn. They look at this same face every time and still put blue cheese in it sometimes. And I hate the blue cheese crumbles. And I know Chick-fil-A is full of Christian-like folks, but I'd be so angry at those God-fearing individuals sometimes. It's like, stop. It's like, you're going to make me come in there and say something I shouldn't say to church people, okay? Like, it's nothing worse than a bad Chick-fil-A order.
Yeah.
It's like, these are supposed to be the people of God and you mess up my order. Isn't that like a sin at Chick-fil-A? Like, you should be repenting right now. Messed up my order.
Yeah, they are a machine though. So it's the mistakes are. I'm surprised about the blue cheese, because they are a machine.
Yeah, you but know. I feel like they're always ran by people who are almost out of adolescence. I don't know if they're running a sweatshop, low key, or what. It's like, no.
They're
like, I want to know how many people are in that kitchen back there. It's like, there's no way I push the button for a sandwich. And then as soon as I get up there, it's like they're calling your name. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
a sweatshop back there. I bet you it's a mess.
I'm convinced.
It's too good to be true.
Well, they should recognize your face. You know, you're an actor, don't you think?
Well, no, we have, you know, we're in this stupid pandemic halfway and we have to wear masks. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, sometimes you're not wearing a mask, though, because you are an actor and you've been in a bunch of TV shows and a host of short stories, indie films, Geico and True Green commercials, and then other projects that you shot during the pandemic. And those are, I'm really curious about. What are some of the projects you did during the pandemic?
So I've done a lot of random commercials and things for like car dealerships. There's this place called Dealer On. I did for them. And I mean, the list goes on as far as short films and stuff. But when it comes to commercials, I've had the most fun doing these videos where I consistently get booked to do these video game commercials. You know, like when you're on your cell phone playing a video game, somebody pops up. It's like, hey, I just won this amount of money. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. Like... I've booked several of those things. And I mean, I have so much fun doing them because they want you to be as silly as possible or as noticeable as possible. And you get to film them at home and those things are cool. And then I do these testimonials for companies. And the funniest one I've done was for Hims. Do you know what Hims? Have you ever heard of the company called Hims?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So there's a Hims and there's a Hers. Okay. Funny with the pronouns. So there's a Hims, right?
Okay.
And what it is it's a pill for males who have ED.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Now,
this is PG-13. So everyone, let's just give you a minute.
If you don't know what that is, then you're
Google.
No, don't tell them to Google. It's going to be a 14-year-old who's going to be on here. Oh.
All right. Well, adults, you know what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I should have kept that one for after the call. But no, but that one.
Yeah.
I had one for them at home. And I mean, that was funny. I might have to send that one to you. Okay. I've done like two. They've asked me to do two of those. And then I've done one for, I don't know. I just do for whatever they send me. I ask how much and then I do it. Like it's really funny. I mean, it's in a pandemic. I work from home. I need some sort of entertainment. It's like, what am I going to do? It's like, oh, for a butcher's meat company? Sure. Send me some steaks. And like I'm in home fake cooking and you know what I mean? It's like, it's cool. It's like, hey. It's like a cleaning company. It's like, hey, before I was using all kinds of stuff. And it's like, now I'm using this non-concentrated oil. Da-da-da. It's like, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's like infomercial type.
And you're having fun with it. That's really
I'm having
great.
A blast. And it's like, I've never, you know, it's like some of those things, most of them, I don't even take it twice. I don't even do two takes. I do whatever I feel like. And I send it and they always like, oh, we love it. It's like, oh, God, you guys, I'm sending you my worst stuff. And they're like, we love it. And then you see these companies posting it all over their social media. The ones for Hims, man, so many people tag me in these videos on Instagram, Facebook. It's like, look, guys, I got a 2-year-old. I'm fine. All right. Like,
okay. I'm an actor.
So, right, it says actor portrayal at the bottom. All right. Like,
Yeah, I do understand that. I have a YouTube video. I played an alcoholic mom.
Yeah,
and that's got a lot of views. And the people that comment, you know, they comment as if I'm really that person.
Which is
a compliment, though. It means they believe me. But
Right. Like, it's like how? Like people are literally on their page on Instagram and there's like 10,000 comments of people arguing wondering how a young black fit man needs hymns. It's like, you don't even know me. Like, you guys, they're literally arguing and people are debating with them about why I probably don't need it, but choosing to use it. It's like, I've never had one of those pills a day in my life. They're just like, it's hilarious. Like, social media is so funny. Like,
yeah.
They don't even know.
They don't even know.
I did it for a check. It's like, come on. Like,
you know. You said how much, and they told you, you're like, yeah, I'll do it.
Sure, I'll do it. It takes 20 minutes to just play around. Like,
that's a lot.
If my son's daycare, that's all. Like, you know.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I'm going to have to look up some of these comments because I'll be entertained by that for sure. I want to check that out. Yeah, you are really naturally hilarious. And so I want to know more about what happened in 2017 when you just went up to this stand-up comedy open mic for the first time and then got hooked. Tell us that story.
So first, this story starts off with a case of harassment. Okay.
Case of harassment.
If I was harassed into this, Dawn. All right. Listen to all these laughers. Look, I was harassed into being this person. All right. I was doing a show that was on TV1 called For My Man. And the guys whose home they used to film that, he actually does stand up. Okay. You know, he goes to open mics and stuff like that. And he was like, hey, man, look, you got to try some stand up. I was like, I'm standing up right now talking to you. What are you talking about? Like, I wasn't even in touch with the community whatsoever. He was like, I mean, comedy, man, you got to do some jokes. I was like, what do you mean? For what? You know, like, why would I do that? You see, I'm here acting. You know, this is what I want to do. So he was talking to me about it for a few minutes, and then it just kind of went away. And then he texted me a week later and was like, hey, I'm doing some time at this spot. You should come through. So we go out there to Baltimore, watch him do his set. Cool. Ha ha. Then he messages me on Facebook. Like 3 weeks later, hey, you come up with 7 minutes and I'm going to make sure you get some time somewhere. I'm like, all right, probably never. But so anyway, so then, and this was probably like, I don't know, I'm engaged at this point. But all I'm focused on is doing this wedding, because when I proposed to her in February, we were getting married in September. Oops, so we have to plan, you know what I mean? So
yeah. That's
all I'm thinking about. So, he hit me up probably like once a month asking me to come up with 7 minutes of material. I tell him, I'm like, hey, I'm getting married in September, maybe after that. He's like, okay, cool. So he stops for a few months, but he hits me up in October. And I'm like, yeah.
Okay. Mark the calendar.
Like, right. I'm like, what is happening? Why does he want me to do comedy so bad? You know what I mean? So,
yeah. So
then here comes the end of November. I reach out to him. I'm like, hey, I got my 7 minutes. What's up? He was like, all right, we're going to Ben's Chili Bowl. I'm like, all right.
Oh, Ben's Chili Bowl in D.C.,
right.
Famous place.
DC.
Very cool. Exactly. I didn't even know they had comedy there. Cool.
Yeah. So, okay. So Ben's Chili Bowl, they have Ben's upstairs and Ben's next door.
Okay.
Right. So upstairs, they have the comedy. So we go in and see some comics around. I tell some people I work with. So I got coworkers that came there. My wife has told a few of my friends. So I get there and there's like people there to see me. I'm like, oh, snap. Oh, I better not bomb. Like, oh, I'm going to suck. And all these people are going to know it. It was like, this was supposed to happen in private. But so yeah, I go up there and I do my 7 minutes and like, it was good. It was good. Like, I mean, people are clapping and everything. And then the lady that was hosting, she comes up and she was like, y'all give it up for Raheem. I wasn't even clean Raheem at that point. I was just Raheem. So I was just dirty Raheem, actually. So I go up and then and then she tells everyone that was my first time doing the comedy. So everybody stands up again and they're clapping and all of that. And then I get booked to do another spot somewhere else in February. From that show. So ever since that show, I've just been doing comedy like just nonstop. Well, no, the pandemic stopped it. But, you know, prior to like I was just on a roll. I mean, I've gotten the chance to do shows with, you know, so many people and just had great opportunity. And I do all clean comedy, you know, so I don't curse and I don't talk, you know, vulgar language or, you know, a lot of sexual content other than the hymns. That kind of stuff.
So we won't be showing any clips of that at the show.
Right. Yeah, I won't even bring it up. But that's what happened. And it's just been ongoing ever since. It's fun. You know, I just naturally have what is that thing people say? You have a gift of gab. Is it gab or gag? Gift of gab.
Gift of gab. With a B.
Yeah, B. Yeah, I guess It would be weird to have a gift of gag. It's like about to vomit every 5 minutes. But no.
I don't want that. I want none of that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, Dawn, she can gag anytime. Just walk around. it's cool. I love it. I love like when I'm on stage. I like when I'm at a crowd and like, you know, they're engaged. You can tell they're into what I'm talking about. And, you know, a lot of times I go in with a script and then I don't do any of it. So it's like, those are the best shows, but my worst shows. Like, I don't like those shows, but I'm glad the crowd does, because like, I like to go in with a plan and execute the plan. Yeah. But then sometimes you go in there and just like somebody laughed at something too hard. Now we're just talking about that for 15 minutes. It's like, wait, I'm here to do something, people. You know what I mean? You're distracting me from doing what they paid me to come here and do, all right? Whether you think I'm doing it or not.
I think that is one of my favorite things, because you've been on a few of our X2 comedy shows since we started in 2018, and you're coming back April 9th, mm-hmm. and we very much enjoy working with you. So glad to have you back. God. And that's actually what you just talked about is the best part for me, I think, in watching you work, is because you do come in with this like loose script plan. And then you just have this gift of being able to essentially write from your head as you perform. So
yeah.
I want to hear a little bit more, like, what is going on inside your head? Share more of that process with us.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing. And as you know, the crowd looks different from the stage, you know? So I think from acting, I love improv. You know what I mean? So it really just becomes an improv class at some points during the show. You know what I mean? Like, and I think it's about noticing what everyone else notices too. You know, like when I'm up there, I'm really just observing. I've learned that some comedians go on stage and they're like looking straight to the back of the room. Some comedians find a table with people who are like, who have those welcoming eyes, or they might be laughing a lot at their jokes, so they kind of cater it to them. And me, I'm like looking all over the place. I'm like squirrel. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, I'm just everywhere. I'm very easily distracted while I'm on stage. And since that's the case, I say whatever just comes to my mind sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be really funny. Sometimes it might be awkward. It just depends. You know what I mean?
So, I've seen that too. And then you make fun of that.
And then you make fun of the awkwardness. It's like, yeah, no. It's like, no, that was supposed to be awkward. You know what I mean? Like, I remember the one time someone came in and I thought they were with someone, but they weren't with that person. I don't know. When we were at the first place, the brewery, and just like moments like that. I like the idea of like making the show memorable for other people, other than the fact that it was funny. You know what I mean? Because whoever that girl was, I'll never know her. If she walked in my room right now, I'd just hit her and I wouldn't remember the fact that she was at the show. But she's just an intruder at that point. But like her, anytime she sees my face on a flyer, she's going to remember that day. It's like, oh, that's the comedian. You know, so it's like, I feel like I want to have that moment every time I have a show. So like last time when we did it at the winery, that table of foxes, you know, cougars that were out to get me when I took my jacket off and I talked to them. they're going to always remember me. I'm never going to remember who that was. I'll never forget that I was sexually harassed at one of your shows, but but they
this
won't
what
forget.
You get when you're a runway model, it does like no. these fitness physique contests.
Listen.
Rihanna will take care of them, I promise. You can come too and make sure.
Yeah, I was about to say, she's probably going to come. She heard about what she was like, and they said, what? I was like, oh, Lord.
I won't let it happen on my watch, Brianna. I'm telling you right now, as you listen to this.
Yeah, she doesn't have a watch, babe. She actually doesn't have a watch.
Yeah, then you have material that you do have in your loose script that you plan ahead of time for shows. Mm-hmm. So you're coming up with new bits and new material. Where do you come up with it? How do you come up with that new material?
I don't know. You know, so sometimes I really have to think about it, and I just have to think about what's funny. You know what I mean? Well, yeah. Or not even what's funny, but what's common.
Right.
You know, I think I generally start from what's common. And then I like to have the idea sometimes of like a comparison of something else, or how to just like make something so simple very funny. Because I think it's so much easier to come up with something that everyone in the room may have encountered, as opposed to introducing them to something that is funny. Because now it becomes a teaching session. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because like if I come in a room and I have this hilarious joke about soccer, but if no one in the room kind of plays soccer, or even if half of the room doesn't really know much about soccer, this is about to be the dumbest joke to do right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it really is. It really is. It's like, I don't care how funny it is. The two people that actually know soccer in the room, they're probably going to bust their guts laughing. But the other 198 is like, we don't know. So I think it's really about knowing your crowd, you know? So like a lot of times I'll have material and just a long list of jokes. If I did all of my material and remembered all of it, I could probably do jokes for like an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Who knows? I just have a bunch of material. And then when I go in a room, I like to go early. I like to be there. I don't like to have that grand entrance. Like, oh, there he is. He's a comedian tonight. Oh, look, he just walked in. Look at him. Look what he's wearing. Oh, my God. Look at that suit jacket. Who's the lady he's with? I don't like to be that guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like to be there as they're coming in. So as they're coming in, I'm looking at him. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, we got a middle-aged lady right here. Is she with her girlfriends? No. Oh, she's with her husband. Okay. Some married jokes. And now I'm looking at this side of the room. You know what I mean? And I'm picking material. So like right now, I don't know what jokes I'm going to do when I get there. Who knows? I might say something I said on here. It's like, no, I won't. I really won't. But but who knows what I'm going to say? You know, I might just get on stage and just see something. Or somebody might cough and the whole show becomes about COVID. Who knows?
Whatever it is, it's going to be beautiful. It's been beautiful every time. You know, it's how you work, and I love it. And your wife and you are now the proud parents of your son, Caleb. How old is Caleb?
Caleb is 2 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, a little squirt.
A little squirt.
Yeah.
Do you ever practice your new material in front of the little squirt? And what does he think about it?
What? No. Caleb is, you kids are selfish. Okay. All babies, all kids under the age, if their age is a single digit, 9 times out of 10, they're selfish. Okay. KJ could care less about what I'm doing around here, what I'm mumbling under my breath. All he cares about is his tablet, Elmo. The alphabet and animal. Okay. He could care less. All right. He's in the process of being potty trained. So he needs to focus on not pissing on my floors in here. He's literally, it was literally like having a little puppy in here. I was cleaning up pee on the floor so many times during the day. He's getting better. I'm proud of him. But yeah, that's my little guy. I have like this underlying grudge with my son.
Yeah.
That I really don't tell a lot of people about. I might tell you guys, but so my son was born on my birthday. So I literally don't have a birthday.
Oh.
My birthday is whatever Saturday is coming up. It's like if our birthday is on a Tuesday, his birthday is Tuesday. My birthday is coming on Saturday. You know what I mean? So I have like an interchangeable birthday now. I don't even know when I'm turning 31 until I look at the calendar. But yeah.
He became number one, didn't he?
Exactly. Literally. Just came right in. Oh, don't worry, Dad. I'll take it from here. You know, you don't know what you're doing with your life. I'll fix that for you. Yeah. And pay for my daycare so this strange lady can watch me all day.
Yeah. I'll plan your future on my tablet.
Exactly. I'll go in there and it's just handprints and scribble, scrabble and stuff. He's telling me what it says. It's a beautiful, a very beautiful disaster.
That's parenthood. Beautiful. Like that. Beautiful disaster.
Full of chaos.
Well, with the real audiences that you've been in front of, not that he's not real, you know, I'm sure he's going to be, as he grows up, watching Daddy a lot more and getting them more out of it. But with the audiences you've been in front of so far, what's the funniest or strangest thing that's ever happened to you while performing stand-up comedy?
Oh, no, you know what? I wasn't even on stage when this happened. Actually, it might be a tie for two things. It might be a tie. Okay. So I think the first one I thought of was when I got off stage. I was hosting. And when I brought up the headliner, she just started talking about PG-13. She just started talking about me being attractive.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was super awkward because I just finished saying my wife was here. So okay. It was like, I don't know if she missed that part or what, but she just had comments. And then what even got more awkward is that her husband was also in the crowd.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, what is happening here? Like, am I going to be allowed to stay at the show? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't say anything to her in the back. It's like, what is her husband probably thinking right now? Like, I don't know if she just didn't know how to open the show or, you know, she just... I don't know. You know how sometimes you have a thought and you say it and you didn't mean to say it. Now you got to play it off. I always thought maybe that's what happened. Yeah. So she just tried to make some jokes out of it. But yeah, I kind of felt a little awkward about that. And I think the other one would be when I was headlining somewhere out in Gaithersburg. And during my set, the front table, like the table closest to the stage, there was no one there all night. Like, and it said reserved. But then as soon as my set starts or about to start, a whole group of women, like seven women, just come in and sit at the table. And I'm like, it messed up like the first 10 minutes of my set. Because, of course, now I'm talking about you guys. It's like, what were you all outside for? A smoke break? Like, what was just happening for the majority of this show until I got up here? Like, did you guys only come to see me? Like, I don't know. So that was hilarious. I think that was probably one of my funniest nights of comedy because of that random moment. And again, that was one of those nights where I had stuff I was going to do, but I didn't even do half of it because of that one incident. And it was hilarious. It was hilarious. They came in and one was really drunk. One of them was
out of
really
the seven.
Drunk. Out of the seven. I was like, so is it her bachelorette party?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And it wasn't. They were just out. No, they had just been. Man,
okay.
Right. And I used that. I created a whole night for them. I created a whole scenario. And it's like, yeah, it was good.
I bet they were loving that because you're they really were, they good were. At that.
They were. I thought I was going to make one. I tried. My goal was to make the drunk lady piddle. If you don't know what piddle means, that means pee, but only a little bit. Just piddle a little bit to be uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Not enough to show a wet spot, but enough to know you just made an act. So,
yeah. Not only a comedy podcast, a cultural podcast, we educational podcast. Gonna learn things. Day, I'm Virginia's for laughers, laughers.
You better be laughing.
Oh my gosh. Because you're an actor, I'm really curious this next question. I'm really curious about your answer. If you could do a movie with your favorite comedian, who would it be and why?
Okay, this actually isn't as tough for me as it probably would be for other comedians. But my answer would be my favorite famous person, Jamie Foxx.
Oh, Jamie Foxx is hysterical. Yes. I have to be a dream for me too. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes.
Jamie
Foxx is hilarious.
My absolute favorite famous person. Now, I'm not going to say he is my favorite actor. He's not my favorite comedian. He's not my favorite singer, but he's my favorite famous person because he's so talented at everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's like the greatest. He might not even be top five in all these categories, but he's very, very good. He can do so much. He can sing. He can do impersonations. He can act. He's really good. He's really good. And if I could pick anyone to do a movie with, I would do a movie with Jamie Foxx. And I would say, forget about whatever one else is going to say. Oh, why wouldn't you pick Will Smith? Will Smith is my favorite actor. Denzel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if I want to go from a movie from scratch, I want it produced by 3 Arts Entertainment, and I want to do it with Jamie Foxx.
I really love that answer. One of my favorite roles that he did is PG-13 right now, but Horrible Bosses. His role in Horrible Bosses is freaking hysterical.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like he can do a role like that in Horrible Bosses and then do a role like, I forgot his name, in Robin Hood. Have you seen the movie called Robin Hood?
No.
What? No. It's an action movie. Oh my gosh.
No.
But it's two totally different spectrums. It's like.
That's true. Yeah. And he just recently was. I'm going to see that. And then I just saw him in the Marvel, the latest Spider-Man too, which was different also. But it's just like, look at this guy.
Yeah.
See,
yeah,
no. I need to know this man.
Exactly. I know. It's like, if I could pick somebody to like just meet, work with and build, I would pick Jamie Foxx. I know it's not a popular answer. I know that, but like, he's just talented.
He is definitely most. I love that answer. Well, as we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow you on social media or otherwise? Yeah.
Okay, yes. Now, because I don't want you to follow me in real life, okay, I will call the cops, but you can follow me on Instagram at clean, C-L-E-A-N, Raheem, R-Y-H-E-E-M. And then I'm on Instagram. Well, I just said Instagram. I have a Twitter, but I don't use Twitter. And Facebook. Raheem Johnson.
That's great. And laughers, we'll put that in the show notes for you as well. Thank you so much, Raheem, for coming on today. It's always a pleasure hanging out with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Dawn. And thank you for introducing me to the laughers.
Yes. And laughers, you can see Raheem perform live as our headliner on April 9th in the 2022 X2 Comedy Series at Court Square Theater in Harrisonburg at 7:30 p.m. Beer and wine is now available at concessions. Joining the lineup with Raheem that evening is your host, JMU professor Chris Womack. The opening act is yours truly, that's me, and your featured comic, Mike Moran, out of Baltimore, Maryland, whose comedy is best described as deadpan, stupid, smart. And fun fact, he went to middle school here in Harrisonburg, so he has lots of Harrisonburg ties. Tickets are only $20. Buy them online today at valleyarts.org/CST. That's valleyarts.org/CST. Great group discounts are also available. Just contact the theater at 540-433-9189. That's 540-433-9189. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we'll be sure to put the event info and ticket link in the show notes for you as well. We can't wait to see you there. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us. And we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia Is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.